You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Authentic Business Adventures can be found on Facebook. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. Today, we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Tracy Lynn Haas, owner of TNT Pet Care Services. Tracy, how is life treating you today?
Real good. It's a beautiful day out, so can't complain. I just walked a dog and enjoyed myself tremendously.
And then we put you in this small room with microphones and lots of machines. What could go wrong?
Right.
So TNT Pet Care Services, how about you tell us what that is?
So I kind of describe it as that we do everything that's pet care that's non-veterinarian and non-grooming related.
Okay.
So
all right.
It's taking care of your pets when you're on vacation or you're at work. It's pet sitting, pet boarding, doggy daycare, dog walks, dog park visits.
Okay.
I mention dogs a lot,
yeah.
Though, because 90% of our clients are dogs, but
sure.
We care for all kinds of pets. We have a lot of cat care visits that we do. We've taken care of a snake. We've taken care of lots of fish.
Okay.
I like fish clients. They're easy.
You don't have to play fetch with them that much.
Right. We've had bunnies. We've had all kinds of really, really wonderful fun times.
Okay. So people essentially hire you when they're going on vacation or something of that nature? Or is it more often than that?
Well, a lot of my clients actually hire me during the day when they're going to be at work.
Okay.
So for all the dog care or dog walk visits would just be like midday walk. Hey, I'm going to be gone for 10 hours today. I don't want my dog sitting at home the whole time by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Could you take them out for a walk, get them to potty, take them back home?
All right.
That's a lot of it. I also do doggy daycare out of my home. So some of my clients drop their dog off in the morning and pick them up after work.
Oh, wow.
So it's a really nice solution. I tend to get a lot of puppies. Now I have like 3 puppies. It's
cute.
It's wonderful, but it's crazy, because they're just high energy. And then, like you mentioned, if you're going to be gone for a week or 2 weeks, we've even had up to a month, we have dog boarding in our home or pet boarding. Mostly it's dogs because people leave their kitties at home.
Sure.
Or we go into our clients' homes and we stay overnight there also.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's my husband and myself.
Okay.
And so we split that out. And
how long have you guys been in business then?
We've been doing this just about 3 years.
Okay.
We started out part-time. We're both working full-time jobs outside of it and just sort of started pet sitting and went, we could really make a business out of it. There's
nice.
A lot of need
in
the area.
There's a lot of people and a lot of pets.
A lot of people, a lot of pets, and good people. People that really want the best for their pets.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some wonderful, like, doggy daycare and kennels in town.
There's
a great options there.
Mm-hmm.
Where we kind of set ourselves apart on that is that, we allow... You can drop off at 6 o'clock in the morning. You can pick up at 10 p.m. at night. That's pretty wide range.
That's a huge range.
They're like, oh, well, that's kind of nice because I can't do that. The other thing is that it's our home. So it's a little bit more, it's just more personal.
Sure.
Just us taking care of day to day, right? You're going to have your dog kind of stay in a day to day life.
Sure. So is the plan to keep it at your home or is there a plan to expand or?
It's a great question. Right now, I would love to have some land and really be able to build a beautiful facility.
Sure.
That would be my wish if I were going to expand.
Okay.
I don't know that I want to expand and just buy something in town.
Gotcha.
I'm not certainly not closing the door on that option. It would be wonderful to have that. We keep it small and intimate now. So
sure.
That's nice.
Is this full time for you and your husband?
It's full time for me. My husband still works a full time job outside of it, but he works evenings.
Mm-hmm.
So I put him to work all day long and then he goes to work all night long, So it's a pretty amazing thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now I was trying to think when you were put on the schedule here, I was trying to think when did I first meet Tracy?
Yeah,
and I feel like it's been just shy of forever that we've known each other.
Well, I've been in Madison for 12 years now.
Okay.
12 years, and the first couple of years I was traveling extensively, so I really didn't do a lot in Madison. But after 2008, 2009, the economy changed. The clients I was working with throughout the U.S. They weren't having me come into the market as much.
Gotcha.
I said, I don't know that many people in Madison. I'm gonna start networking.
Right.
And so that's when I started to really getting, so it probably was around that 2008, okay. 2009.
And what were you doing at that point?
I was working at a company called Broadcast Interactive Media.
Gotcha. Okay.
And we did websites and web solutions for the broadcast industry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah. So that was, it was pretty intense and wonderful. It was a great experience.
Sure. So was the plan, when did you get the plan to start your own business? Regardless of what it was.
Well, I've always wanted to, and I've always wanted to be something in pets. I remember back in college, I had a marketing class, and we had to create a product.
Okay.
And the product I created was a pet baby book. Oh, right. Like your pet's first year book.
Sure. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was great, and I did really well in the grade on that. And I should have done something with it because it's pretty cool.
It's not too late.
Yeah, I should do something.
Hurry before people listen too much, too intently to this, right?
But so I grew up on a farm. I've always been around animals and had a love for that. And so, I can't say there was like this moment where we sat down and said, I'm going to plan this out and do this. It sort of just organically grew.
Sure.
Now we've done a lot more of figuring out how do we want to structure this. I've done a lot more research on, you know, how should I price this out? What makes sense? What's a good offering? What matters to people? So it was back in November when I really went full time into this.
November, you're talking 2017.
2017. Okay. That I totally went full time into this. Sure. I'm not working outside of this at all.
And what was the trigger there?
I lost a job.
Okay. That'll happen, right?
Yeah. So it was these whole blessing in disguise kind of things because I said, well, you know, I could either go back to work for somebody and just keep doing this, or I could really put down some roots and say, let's make this and let's see how much I can grow it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you proudly that it's grown really well.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
And like I was saying, there's a lot of people out there that want their dogs and their cats and their pets to be taken care of by somebody who's, you know, cares the same way they do.
Sure.
You know, so, I have my clients fill out a customer care sheet all this time. And I tell them, I mean, basically, that's for them to tell me how to best care for their pet.
Sure.
So the more thorough they can be, the better I can be. So I really, yeah. Yeah.
So do you have to deal with insurance? I imagine if somebody says like, hey, take care of my boa constrictor, that's going to be, whether you want to or not.
Yeah, we comes have. Into that play. That was the snake we had.
Okay. Here's my 12-foot snake. Just take care of this guy.
Interestingly enough, she was in hibernation mode. So all I had to do was keep her enclosure moisture.
Okay.
Moisturized.
So like you went to her. She didn't come to you.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Just throw her in my trunk. There's my snake.
Yeah. Yeah. We just went over to their house and they had two cats and they had fish and then they also had the snake.
Gotcha.
So, but she was easy. She was hibernating. She barely moved.
All right.
Like, okay. I could do that.
Sure.
But we are fully insured.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, I love looking at local.
Mm-hmm.
And I did end up going with a national company because they're connected to an association that we're members of, the Professional Pet Sitters International.
I just recently heard of that from a student at one of my classes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. There's also a national association called the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters.
So, I guess I don't know which one they are part of. I just heard Pet Sitters and National Associations. I was like, oh.
Yeah, the two organizations are super closely related to one another. And you can get your insurance through it's the Business Insurers of the Carolinas.
Okay.
And either one, you get to be in the sort of the group of
it. Sure.
Basically, they would insure us for, they specialize in pet professional insurance.
Sure.
So I've got my insurance through them. And then this year I added on because I've just become certified. I'm like super, super close to being certified in dog obedience training as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just an additional, rider. I'm not,
right?
I may not say the right terminology, but it's just an additional thing that we added on to our insurance.
Oh, because you're doing training.
Because now I'm doing training. And that's
insure everything, right?
Yeah.
You put on two shoes, let's insure that.
Right. But it's a good idea. We're bonded.
Okay.
You know, so we just went ahead and did all of that through that company. Mm-hmm. But
gotcha.
But I think it's important. I'm surprised sometimes that people don't ask me if I'm insured.
Oh,
I rarely am
just
asked.
Like, here's my dog.
Yeah, I'm rarely asked that question.
Okay.
And I think that it would be a good idea. Although, really, the insurance is more for me than it probably is for them. Although it would protect them too if their dog was injured.
There's the liability aspect, but there's also the I'm a real business. I'm not just somebody that happens to have an open living room for your dogs to play in.
Right. It definitely, you know, shows that we're serious. We're very serious about what we're doing. So yeah, it was interesting. As I always think, well, people are going to ask me that all the time. And rarely do they ask me. Actually, I'm also surprised they don't ask me how long I've been doing this.
I'm like, you seem legit.
Because I'll ask them, you know, do you have any questions for us? Do you want to know much about us?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this? Yeah, and then I get to
I'm giving you my pet. I assume I should know something. So yeah. They're just like, you know, what color is your van?
On the other hand, a lot of the business we get comes from word of mouth.
Sure.
You know, so it's referrals. And it's people that know us and trust us. And you know, I've worked hard at getting to know a lot of people. I network, and I still network a lot. Although now I have a granddaughter, so I network a little less. Oh,
dial it down, yeah.
She's almost two, so. It's wonderful, but. But anyway, a lot of it comes through that avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. They have a kind of intrinsic trust already because their friend said, "Hey, I use these guys and they're really good."
Mm-hmm.
So that feels good.
Sure.
That feels
good. So let me go back to how you started. You said November of 2017 you started full time.
Yeah.
Well, that means this was going before that.
Yeah. So back in 2015, of August 2015, we started. Just getting asked if we'd, you know, stay overnight at somebody's house to help out.
How would people ask you? Like, did they know you did this? Or
no, it actually came from a friend who was doing it, and she was overbooking herself.
Okay.
And so she started saying, look, and I know you guys like pets, and I know you really well. And so she just asked, could we help out?
Was she also doing it out of her house as well?
She wasn't having anybody coming to her. She was always going to somebody else's house. But she was getting overbooked. She was getting too many, you know, she couldn't stay more than, you know. She and her boyfriend were doing it, so if they got more than two jobs, then they were,
They couldn't help. Okay.
Right. So then she'd ask, hey, could you guys help us out?
Sure.
And so we started doing that, and then we just started seeing that people were wanting to know, could they drop them off at our house?
Mm-hmm.
And our house has got a beautiful fenced-in backyard, so I'm like, yeah, why not? That'd be great. Everything was going really well with that. And like I said, we were doing it. Tom always worked nights and I worked days. So we always were splitting things out. And it was working great. I always tell people, you know, Tom and I never saw each other, but it worked great for our business.
For the love of the dogs.
And then, you know, it just organically just kept growing and growing.
Sure.
And that's why when in November this happened, I was like, well, I really could do this.
Sure.
I could literally put... All of my, I could jump with both feet in and I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I've done that. And we've been really working hard on building up our doggy daycare. So that's been it's becoming very successful in doing that. It's helping.
Now, are you to the point where you need employees or have employees?
I have a few people that help me out when, a situation happened where my brother passed away.
Oh,
and
sorry.
Thank you. It was a surprise. It was terrible. But I needed to go to his service and be there. And so I reached out to a few friends of mine to see if they'd help out because I had dogs to babysit and such.
Yep.
And so I've got some really good people, three or four people that will jump in when I need them.
Oh, nice.
They're not employees officially, but they definitely are somebody I can call on to help out. If we continue to grow the dog walking side of things, and especially in markets where it's a little farther drive for us, then when I say markets, I guess towns, they're a little farther drive, then I will, you know, want to hire in those areas. And that's definitely a goal. We want to do that. We want to have, we want to be another solution to, say, the Wags and to the Rovers. And interesting, I just got a client because they were using... I can't remember which of the services, but they were on their third month of using it and they were on their third dog walker.
Oh, wow.
Because, and it makes sense. I mean, people jump into those services because they're in between jobs.
Sure.
And it's nice they can do this, but they're searching for a job.
Right.
And then when they get a full-time job, they you know, let their clients know, hey, I can't do this anymore.
Sure.
And
so
then,
it wasn't the client firing this person. It was this person finding a different gig and saying, no, I'm not doing this
exactly
anymore. Okay.
Which in those situations, it makes a lot of sense because those they're just putting their name out in the hat, you know, to be a walker. But when when an opportunity comes for them to get a full-time job, yeah, I get it. They're going to do that. Whereas this is what we do. So, yeah, one of my clients just, I've had a couple of people have said that, but one hired us just recently and said, yeah, I just don't want to switch every month. I don't want to meet with a new person and have to go through the whole routine with them again. And
this is what our dog likes and doesn't like. And
this is how you get in my house. You know, there's that's a lot of people that know how to get into a house too, that, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's been a really great situation for us.
So then, how, well, first of all, I want to ask, are you making money off of this?
Yeah, actually, I mean, it's, this is why we started looking at this as a much more viable business, because I started kind of in the back of a napkin, you know, working out, hey, if I had this many dog walking clients and and they were paying my least amount that I had for an option and I was 75% booked, man, I could make like, you know, 40 grand a year just in dog walking. That's not everything else I do. And if we're both doing that, that's 80 grand. You know, it's like, we really could make this a serious business.
You can make some decent money.
Make decent money. Thoroughly enjoy everything. I've said that a lot of times. The last couple of winters, I just don't get the same winter blahs that I used to get.
Maybe I'm going to start a dog walking thing. I totally get winter blahs.
Yeah, but you know, you kind of, you're sitting there and there's nothing that makes you get up and put your shoes and boots on and go outside, because this, when you have to go out and take a dog for a walk or you have to take them to the dog park, you bundle up and you go outside. And you do it, and it's just improved my winter experiences a lot.
Interesting. I got a dog. I take him for, or take her for a walk every, well, take her for a run in the morning, and either my wife or myself takes her for a walk in the evening.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, all winter, I hate it. That has not eliminated the winter blast for me. By about November 1st or so,
you're still like,
I'm done with winter. Like, why do we live here?
I think mine might be just that it's so, it's not the same routine. I do something
different.
Like,
if it's
every,
a different dog, different location.
Change it up quite a bit. So
you
maybe
get to see who shovels and who doesn't.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Play the game of outrunning the plow. Like, I hear it in the neighborhood. We just have to time it.
Oh, that's funny. Does she, does your dog like to go after the plow or just
no. Rabbits and squirrels, yes. No, plow, it's noisy, so that she assumes that the world's coming to an end.
Okay. I always find it funny when you have a dog that thinks they could possibly eat a garbage truck. They just go nuts, like, rah, rah, rah. I'm like, that kid's a very large truck.
You, it's really gonna be a hard bite.
Cannot eat that.
Sure. Interesting. But I suppose if you're seeing different neighborhoods and talking to different people, seeing different dogs, different story.
Yeah,
what I got going on with mine. No, especially when you get that 6 inches of snow. She's a 35-pound dog, so it's just like her belly is rubbing. So she's plowing more than walking.
That's sweet.
Yeah, cool dog, but winter blahs are still there. That's funny. So when you, did you go to your husband and say, hey, let's make this happen? Or did he come to you and say, hey?
No, it was definitely me that, I guess, had the desire to really go for it. But it didn't take much to convince him that we should, because he enjoys it a lot, too.
Okay.
He has certain dogs that's his dogs. He walks them almost every day, and he's
client dogs.
Client dogs.
Oh,
yep.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we actually have no dogs that we own. No dogs of our own right now.
Well, that's
we have
funny.
A kitty cat.
All right. I totally understand, but that's so funny.
And I always have owned dogs, and until I moved to Madison, I've always had a dog. But it's, you know, we talk about it, and it's like, you know, it's kind of beneficial not to right now, because we don't have to worry about personalities clashing or when we want to go on vacation, having to have our dog sat, you know? So I mean, eventually I'll have a dog again, because I love having a dog.
Sure.
But it's been kind of nice and good not to right now. And we always say we get a dog fix. We have so many different dogs. We get our dog fixed.
I bet plenty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we get plenty of licking and kisses.
On
and
the verb of, or on the verge of too much, I imagine, at some points, right?
We have a Great Dane puppy who comes right now, and the amount of slobber is really interesting. Oh, wow.
Like, I just saw one of those, I don't know what kind of dog it was, the Turner and Hooch type dog.
Yeah.
Just
it's like, lick your lips, baby.
And I saw, that dog was coming towards my dog just to sniff, and I'm like, oh, now I got to wash out this mess.
Yep.
And all I could think is, that owner picked that dog. Right? It wasn't, unless their dying grandmother gave it to him on her deathbed or something like that. You chose this mess.
Yep.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Interestingly, And I did not know this until mm-hmm. we dog sat a St. Bernard.
Okay.
There's a surgery okay. that you can do to have their, they actually can swallow their saliva more.
Oh, interesting.
Than to have it just drip down, the Beethoven kind of drip down.
Sure.
And so this dog had had that surgery. He still slobbered.
All right.
But he definitely was not as bad. I didn't know that was a thing.
Less slobber. All
right. I didn't know it was a thing until we dog sat that St. Bernard.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you went to your husband and said, hey, let's start this business. He's like, you know what? I like dogs. This is all good.
Yeah, let's do it.
So you fired up. So what was the sequence of events from the time that you decided to start this business, bringing on clients, marketing the business, all that jazz? Just
yeah.
walk us through that timeline.
Yeah, so that's, it just sort of, like I said, organically happened, but okay. there are things that we did. So we started out all word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It was just people I knew telling each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then I created a Facebook page. That was okay. the first thing that I started in a public sort of marketing forum.
Sure.
And then it wasn't too long after that. I was like, you know, we need a website.
All right.
So we contacted a local company, a friend of mine. Her company was actually out of another country, but and I still work with them today.
Mm-hmm.
They're a great company. So that I'm revamping my website right now.
Nice.
I get quite a few inquiries through that, which is
cool.
really nice to see. It's working very well.
You're talking like people filling out forms and
filling
stuff
out,
like that?
Yep, filling out our contact us form on mm-hmm. our website. So that was another part of the marketing. And then it was, it was funny because it was at the SMBA
oh, sure.
Expo.
Yep.
Saw Channel 57 there. They did mm-hmm. a little TV.
Sure.
Interview.
Little interview, with, talk yep, of the little, town or something of that nature.
It's, it was, oh goodness, local home or something. Like
oh,
it wasn't,
sure.
it wasn't, it
okay.
was some, another one in the process. Sorry.
Sure.
I feel bad that I don't remember that.
No worries.
But anyway, we did that and that got us a little bit.
Sure.
And then, you know, just again, reaching out to people to say, could I sit down with you and
sure.
talk about what mm-hmm. we do? But the big thing, and then also being a member of the, NAPS and the, which is that National Association of Professional Pet Sitters.
Gotcha. NAPS,
and,
got it.
And the International, Professional PSI, Professional Pet Sitters International.
Okay.
That actually, you have a profile on those pages, and that
gotcha.
Actually has brought in some business.
Huh.
I will tell you something we do not do any longer.
Okay, what's that?
We don't put anything on Craigslist any longer.
Oh.
Because we really just got creepy people that
really?
contacted us, and a lot of spammers.
Okay. Spammers, they totally.
Oh,
sure.
yeah. You know, and it's a script, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm coming to your town in a month and I want to sure. pay you $500 a week, but I can't meet you ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to pay you more than I owe you and you can
right.
cash check and pay this. And I'm like, no.
Yep.
So I was, one thing that we've done to avoid all of that is we require a free, no obligation meet and greet prior to you hiring us.
Sure.
So for, you know, anyone that contacts me and says, I want to, you know, have you hired. Well, we need to meet beforehand.
Sure.
I can't do that. I won't be here. And I'm sorry, then I'm not a good solution for you.
Right. That's fair. Just like
yep.
with a babysitter.
Yeah.
You want to meet the babysitter yep. before you leave your kid with them.
Exactly. And I, for the meet and greets, I look at it as being sort of a two-way street. You get to meet us.
Sure.
And if you're, you know, if you're going to bring your animal to our house, you get to
mm-hmm.
see our environment in our
mm-hmm.
backyard and all that. If we're coming to your house, then we meet, do the meet and greet at your house
mm-hmm.
because you get to show us around, show
sure.
me where the food is. I also get to meet the animal because we do not take on aggressive
mm-hmm.
animals. We're cautious with that for our own safety.
Sure.
And quite honestly, for my granddaughter, too. I have
right.
an almost 2-year-old granddaughter. I'm not willing to put her in a situation that's dangerous for her.
Right.
And also our other clients,
mm-hmm.
dogs and cats and things. So I'm... It serves a purpose in two ways in that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it does that, but it also kind of gets rid of the ability to be scammed.
Sure. That's fair. That's totally fair.
Yep. So we just don't put it on Craigslist anymore. We don't put it on like care.com anymore. It just doesn't bring in super quality
gotcha.
Leads.
Okay.
For us,
mm-hmm.
it didn't. So we just use a lot, mostly what we use is our Facebook page and
mm-hmm.
our website.
Okay.
And the word of mouth and me networking.
Sure. And
yeah.
what is your website?
It's www.tand, T, so A-N-D-T-N-T, mm-hmm. PetCareServices.com.
T-A-N-T, PetCareServices.com.
Yep, Tom and Tracy.
Tom and Tracy, gotcha, easy enough.
Yep, yep, we're like, we're not very
Facebook,
original.
Do you have your little at symbol there?
It's T-N-T and Pet Care Services.
Gotcha, again. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yep.
Easy enough.
Yep, same easy name, enough. Just our business name.
Mm-hmm. So have you found, I always ask people about social media, because that's a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that thing 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
But it turns out now it's a thing. So has social media treated you well?
Yeah. That was one thing I should say is I just had done a promoted post.
Okay.
I actually did an ad on Facebook. I hadn't done that up until about, it's probably about 3 weeks ago I kicked it off. Mm-hmm. And that was, we were going to do an open house for our doggy daycare.
Oh, wow.
We wanted to welcome people in.
Sure.
On a specific time,
mm-hmm.
that they could just come over. We knew we were going to be only have like one or two dogs at the house, so it wasn't going to be crazy.
Right.
So we set that up and we promoted the post, mm-hmm. the event. And it did well.
Nice.
We only got like two people that came the night of.
Oh, well.
But we ended up with five clients because three of them came beforehand.
Oh, wow.
They all said, to me, I saw this. Can I come before your night? Because need it sooner than that. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Oh, that brings up another sort of social network, mm-hmm. that we use, Nextdoor.com.
Nextdoor. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah.
And that's helped us quite a bit. That one you have to be thoughtful. That's mm-hmm. how you use, not to be too salesy or, mm-hmm. you know, too much promotion-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But people will ask out there, hey, do you have somebody that you use? And we've had friends of ours that have said, and clients of ours that have said, hey, we use these guys.
Mm-hmm.
We recommend them highly. I'll respond and say, my husband and I do that service. We'd love to meet with you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a great one.
Nice.
But, yeah, social media has been beneficial to us.
Okay.
A great deal. Our Facebook page has now a little over 200 friends or likes.
Sure.
The promoted post did almost doubled it.
Okay.
So that was we've gained a lot of followers in the last.
You gained followers from that promoted post.
We did. We gained people, you know, liking our
sure.
our Facebook page.
Okay.
I have a LinkedIn page, mm-hmm. profile page, but I don't really post on it enough that I should be, you know,
sure.
I don't do enough of that.
Sure.
To
I imagine for clientele, for B2C stuff, maybe it's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to have it,
mm-hmm.
to show, again, that legitimacy. You are mm-hmm. serious about doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't used it to build business much yet.
Sure. That's fair.
Yeah.
So what is the plan for, we're essentially midway over with 2018, which is crazy weird.
I know.
What is the plan for the rest of the year, right? For the rest of 2018 in regards to goals that you're planning on achieving for the business itself?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I was really trying to beef up our doggy daycare. My mm-hmm. goal is to get to 8 dogs a day.
Okay.
That's really what I want to do. We kind of hover around 4 to 5.
Okay.
A day. And some days are more. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays,
mm-hmm.
we have more clients than we have Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Hmm.
So, which... it's good. It works fine. And it also still allows us to be pretty flexible with our clients to
sure.
say, you know, one of my clients can say, this week, can I do this? And
oh,
so
sure.
far we can say, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
no problem. So that's good. But I want to get to about that 8 dog a day range, because that really puts us in a place, because another goal I have is that Tom would be able to stop working outside the business.
Oh, interesting.
As well.
Okay. Is he okay with that?
He wants to. That would be, he would love to.
Okay.
But, you know, we kind of looked at it and said, all right, we have to replace the income we have coming in now and,
mm-hmm.
and his income, plus beef it up by maybe about $1,000 a month to cover insurance,
sure.
right? Medical insurance, because we still have two kids on our medical insurance,
sure.
him and myself. So we then would be 100% responsible for
right.
those costs. And everybody knows that's not an inexpensive thing.
No. No.
It's
broken.
Yeah.
The system is broken.
So we, you know, we want to be conscious of what timing we do that. But that is a goal. We really hope to do that. Other goals is we would love to have, you know, we were talking about this before. I'd love to have at least 3 dog walkers that are consistently
mm-hmm.
working with us and for us,
mm-hmm.
By the end of the year, that'd be amazing.
Sure.
So those are our main growth goals, because we probably couldn't grow too much more on the dogs that we board.
Sure.
Or the pet sitting that we do outside
mm-hmm.
of this.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little room, but not a huge. So I'm not going to put a lot of marketing toward that, because
sure.
that's just that's just organically happening. And mm-hmm. That's fine. But the doggy daycare. Oh, every time you say that, it makes me think of another thing that I did. I have a client that's in a community that's like a condo community.
Okay.
And it's a very dog-friendly condo community.
Oh, nice.
And so one day I thought, well, I created door hangers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, I'm going to drop off door hangers. I guess I did not realize how many condos were in that because they're all fourplexes.
Oh, funny.
There's a lot of them. So I actually ended up having to go back to my truck and get more. But from that day that I spent about an hour just putting door hangers out, I think I've gotten 4 calls.
Oh, very cool.
And I've gotten a paid client that we've kicked in.
Nice.
And I've gotten another one that's come up for a meet and greet. So it's been, yeah, it works.
Nice.
It's a lot of work, but it works. Right? Yeah, watch the windy days.
Like, yeah, sure.
My door hanger didn't stay on. I got to go get it.
Thousands of dollars blowing down the road. Right?
Well, I created them myself. So sure. It's like.
It's still a printing cost. Printing's not free.
And when you have a dog that eats your printer cartridges that you just bought.
Probably not ideal.
Puppy.
Why does my dog have a blue mouth? I was thinking what you did before, you were in sales and you probably worked with a lot of smaller businesses back then, right?
Yeah.
When you're selling ads and stuff
yes.
like that.
Yeah.
Did you learn a lot of what to do or maybe even what not to do from seeing what they were doing? Or not necessarily?
Well, it's kind of a harder transition because that was a lot of traditional media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was either websites. I was selling website solutions to small businesses, which I guess that I did learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what companies to work with and where to, you know, thinking about like domains and mm-hmm. and content and things like that. So I carried a lot of that knowledge through to what I did for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But with like when I worked at a television advertising company,
mm-hmm.
a local company Charter, I'm not at the level right now where I'm going to spend a lot of money on TV advertising.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently not in a budget. So that's a harder one.
Did you learn anything as far as operationally from watching other businesses?
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole growth thing. Gets you want to like have that go out in a more even mm-hmm. way instead of just throwing and growing too large too fast and things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been, I guess, a good lesson learned is to really just think about your growth strategy and how fast you mm-hmm. want to grow. Because, yeah, you always want to be growing.
Mm-hmm.
And you want good pain points that stretch you.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to be so overwhelmed that you're disappointing all of your clients and turning them away.
Growing at the mm-hmm. sacrifice of the existing clients and stuff like that.
Right.
Sure. Or at the expense of, I should say.
At the expense of. So because I'm really focused on, I do a lot of communication. So mm-hmm. I'm texting a lot and sending pictures and mm-hmm. trying to really focus on that. And I just don't want to be so over the top that I can't.
Sure.
Can't do it.
So it seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you have essentially created a job where you're on their almost all the time. So that, like, if somebody wants to pick up their dog at 10 p.m., they can. If they want to drop them off at 6 a.m., they can.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that you're on the clock almost every waking hour.
Yeah, yeah. And it's there's days where it's a lot more tiring.
Okay.
But, you know, my husband one time said to me, well, Tracy, maybe we should do childcare too. And I said, oh, honey, here's the difference. I can take a break in the middle of the day for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. I can put a puppy in a kennel
mm-hmm.
Or if they free roam, they mm-hmm. can be sitting in the house. I can leave for a couple of hours or I can take a nap if I need to. I can't do that with a child.
No,
I said, I think I'd get in trouble if I put a child in a kettle. You know,
yeah,
so
he's good.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in the cage over there.
My granddaughter loves to actually go sit in one and she pretends to close the door on herself. And I'm like, oh, baby, that's just, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, though, I do get intermittent breaks
mm-hmm.
within that time period.
Sure. Okay.
You know, so I will. And also Tom and I do it together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's times where I'm like, look, I've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning. I've got it because, you know, a dog wanted to go outside at 4 o'clock in the morning and he's barking in his kennel or he's barking outside my door or he's in bed with me because I have a lot of the dogs that just come and sleep in my bed.
Holy cow, you're crazy.
Oh, okay. It's wonderful. I love it.
No.
I get to snuggle.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But anyway, I'll say, hey, I'm going to go take a nap. Can you can you just keep an eye on everybody?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we work it. And we've always done it that way. And it's been really amazing.
Nice.
And I work with, because I'm flexible,
mm-hmm.
my clients tend to be very flexible also.
Okay.
And very understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm very flexible that you can drop your dog off and we can work on that.
Sure.
And then they'll say, well, that's okay. If you need me to wait an hour to come get them because you're going to be going to do, you guys want to go out to dinner together?
Sure.
Oh, okay. I'll come after you get back.
Sure.
So I tend to have a really good relationship with my clients and mm-hmm. just have, they are as flexible as I am.
Almost. Nice.
Yeah. It's a really good relationship.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
It is awesome.
So running full time from November, we're talking 7, 8, 9 months, give or take.
Oh God, has it really been that long? Wow.
Yeah. So what have you learned? long list.
I think the biggest thing is that people truly, truly think of their pets as family members. And I've always known that. But I think I just keep reinforcing that mindset. Mm-hmm. So communication mm-hmm. is hugely important. They want to hear from me. They want to know. They want pictures mm-hmm. of their dogs. So that's important. I'm learning more about, as we were just talking about, some self-care. Mm-hmm. You know, not killing myself too much. You know, taking those times to go take a nap mm-hmm. or things. Because it's awesome. And I also have learned to say no to certain dogs.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, you know, or especially dogs, you know,
because
mostly if the animals are coming to my house,
mm-hmm.
I've only ever had 2 times where someone's brought a cat to my house.
Gotcha.
It's just not, cats don't adapt as easily as dogs do. So typically if I get a cat care client, it's going to be me going to your house
mm-hmm.
and doing a half hour visit or something to feed, change out litter boxes,
mm-hmm.
Change waters, you know, to play with the kitty. I've had kitty cats that I've never met because they hide that well.
Oh, sure. All right.
I know they're there. They're eating their food. They're taking poopies in the water box, but like, I've never seen this kitty.
Oh, funny.
But
silent client.
Yeah. But going back to your question is to be able to say no to people that give you most people are very open and honest about the aggressive nature of their animal.
Okay.
And so being able to say, I cannot take an animal that has even sort of an iffy disposition, especially around children.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaughter's with me on a regular basis, and I can't do that.
Sure.
And I'll try to make suggestions for people that they may be able to talk to. Say, hey, you might be able to go talk to this person. They might be able to have you come in because they don't have children in their mm-hmm. home. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. So I try to find a solution for people, but saying no is important. It's also, another big thing was we have done some remodeling in our house.
Oh, since November?
Yeah, we started doing it before that, but the big thing was, if you want to have a lot of animals come into your house, don't have carpet. Oh my gosh. We got rid of all the carpet because it was kind of gross.
Sure.
You know, because
accidents happen.
Oh my goodness. Accidents and then on purposes because, oh my God, there's so many smells. I'm going to mark my stuff here too.
Okay.
And, you know, so yeah.
This is mine now.
This is mine. We got rid of all of our carpet.
Okay.
And so that was a good thing to learn just to not have that kind of stuff. Also pricing. Pricing has been a thing that I've had to learn mm-hmm. going out. And as I have ever talked to somebody, if people come to me and say, well, you know, do you mind if I ask you how you started? Because I kind of want to do this too. And I'm totally open with that because mm-hmm. there's no way that Tom and I could do it all.
Sure.
There's so much need out there.
Sure.
And so I tell people, price appropriately. We all start way too low.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is, it makes it so that you literally can't make enough to have this be a sustaining business. And then mm-hmm. you end up having to get a different job.
Mm-hmm.
And that just totally disappoints your clients.
Mm-hmm.
You're better off to price it at a level that you can make enough income to sustain it as a business mm-hmm. and to keep going with it. So you can have these clients that come back year after year.
Right.
Because they don't want to, once they find somebody they like and trust and their animal likes,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to have to keep changing it either.
No, not at all.
So I started out way too low and quickly went, wait a minute.
I'm taking care of a lot of dogs. I don't have a lot of money in the bank. Something's wrong.
Right. But we're also started, like, other pets are just like, oh, could you not do that? You know, because it hurts. It hurts the entire.
Sure, because you're bringing the market down.
Hurts everybody.
Sure.
And that's another thing of just being able to say no to people. People will say, well, what if I only want you to come for 15 minutes and not a half an hour? My trip charge is my trip charge.
Yeah.
And it has to be because I still have to drive to your house. Mm-hmm. I still have to spend that time.
Right.
And I still have to, you know, drive back to my home.
So interesting that that happens because I have people with calls on call
uh-huh.
that try to nickel and dime like yeah. that. And I just, when they start trying to do that, I'm like, there's no way that you're even going to say yes to this.
Right.
Because you're trying to nickel and dime a service yeah. that's already cheaper than any alternative you have.
Right. Right.
Like, you can't nickel and dime an employee.
Right.
And if we're a replacement for an employee.
And I have pricing that is, if you're going to use me on a consistent basis,
mm-hmm.
it's less expensive than
sure,
if you're going to use
absolutely.
Me. And I'll tell them, it's like, is there my on-demand?
Yep.
You don't want to set up a schedule. You just kind of want to be able to say, hey, could you pop in one day?
Yep.
That's totally cool.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yes, we can do that. It's a little bit more
mm-hmm.
than if you have a regular schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that on every service I have.
Mm-hmm.
You want to drop your dog off once in a great while?
Sure.
I have an on-demand price.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have a regularly scheduled thing, then cool. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to say, nope, this is my price.
Right.
And not giving. You know, not going, ooh, that's hurting my ego or,
sure.
ooh, am I too high? No, I have a very fair, I know mm-hmm. I have a very fair price because I've done some research out on, you know, just on the, you know, national pricing and looking at other prices mm-hmm. here in Madison. I'm actually probably still low. You know,
sure.
I could go up, but it's good. It's really
presumably
good.
You're low because just about everyone I talk to for clients in regards to business coaching. They're low.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it comes down to, like, you wonder why. Like, are they pricing themselves low because that's a way that they're going to try to garner clients? Like, mm-hmm. they're going to be one of the lowest in the market, so they're going to try to beat people on price, which I'm like, that's a game no one wins.
I know.
Right?
I think it's that whole darn Midwest nice baloney that gets in our way.
Yeah. Oh, that's super common, right?
Yeah. It's very common.
And then we get the, it's weird how I see people spending money on certain things. When they won't spend money on other things.
Yeah.
Like, I just recently I met a homeless woman who's driving a BMW. Doesn't have a place to live, but she's very proud of her car.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. Not the choice that I would make.
Priorities are different than
but
mine.
But I wonder, when you bought that car, did you try to beat them up on price or anything? Or, like, why? Your choices are just a little bizarre, but everybody's got their thing.
It's interesting. It is interesting.
Yeah. So the whole pricing model, and I get that, like, with the book, right?
Uh-huh.
I get people that are wetting their pants over $10 for a book.
Oh, I bought two of your books the last
time
I saw you.
High five there.
Yeah, no.
Nice.
It was at the expo. I'm
that's right.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I just listened to this Grant Cardone thing. I don't know if you know Grant Cardone,
yep,
right?
Yep, we have.
I can't listen to him too much because I get all fired up, right? And then you start sending emails that people get excited about. Anyways, he was at the airport. He's got a book at the bookshop in the airport, right? And he sees the guy looking at it. And the guy flips it over to look at the price, right? And Grant Cardone goes up to him and he's like, hey, how's it going? You know, and the guy recognizes him. And Grant Cardone says, why are you looking at the back of the book? The guy says, oh, I just want to see how much it is. And Grant's like, if you had to make a decision on $30, you'll never be a millionaire. And so Grant Cardone signs the book to him, doesn't give it to him. Signs the book for him and then hands it back to the guy, just assuming the sale at $30
or
whatever it was. It was so, on the one hand, some people would say that was overly aggressive. On the other hand, he's got a point. The information that people are reading a book like that for is worth way more than $30.
Right.
So you're really going to make or break you on $30?
You got some
interesting decision. So that you're altering when maybe there's some other decisions that you can spend more time on.
Right, right.
So it was funny.
Yeah, so you're saying, you know, Grant Cardone, do you ever listen to Jim Rohn?
I do.
That's the one that gets you all fired up.
I do. Jim Rohn, I'm a huge Tony Robbins guy.
Oh, yeah, Tony Robbins.
So
and Brendan Bouchard. And,
yep.
And I guess that would be another lesson, I would say, or mm-hmm. Suggestion to people that are in business. Listen to all these... gurus, if you want to call them gurus, listen to them and listen to them often, constantly. Keep that in the top of your mind. Keep that whole focus on how do I build, how do I grow, and just not what can I eliminate to get out of, you know, what can get out of my way? Mm-hmm. What can my mindset be?
Oh, it's a huge name in the game.
Oh, it's just huge name everything. Stop being, like, for instance, I'm thinking, like, in my business, I got my, we got to not be in the mindset of we're priced too high.
Right.
It's not. We're not. We're priced at reasonable for walks and probably a little low for boarding and pet sitting.
Sure. Well, in the end, it comes down to value, right?
Right.
So if people know you, like you, and trust you, you got a decent place for their dog, and they know that the problem is taken care of, then they're willing to pay.
Yes.
Because if they don't go to you, that means that they have to go somewhere else, and they have to know, like, and trust that person, like their space, et cetera, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
And how are they going to know that information? That means they got to take some time.
Yeah.
So even if you're a couple bucks more than the other place, how much time do you have to investigate, right? What's an hour worth to you or a couple hours worth to you?
Well, and it's been a big validated lesson with our doggy daycare because people have switched to us. They were paying less than they're paying us now.
Yep.
But they wanted the smaller number of dogs and they wanted the home environment. And it also maybe is proximity too. So it's closer to their house. It's a little more convenient. And because I have such a large range and flexibility to drop off and pick up.
Right.
It's like, oh, that's cool.
Sure.
Because if you don't get to your, you know, another place on time, you get charged extra. And whereas if you have till 10 o'clock at night, you typically can get there by then.
Sure. You know. So you raise an interesting point in regards to raising prices. What kind of fallout did you have over the course of time?
Good question. And maybe not the best business option. I never raised them on my current clients.
Oh, gotcha.
So I just kept the current clients that I have.
Okay.
I didn't change anything. So I did raise for dog walks that changed. You know, I just went across the board. Nobody even gave me any blinked an eye on that. They're like, oh yeah, absolutely. You should be charging this.
Sure. Right.
And we did that really early.
We were robbing you before. Yeah. Glad you noticed it.
And I did that super early on. So it's like been the same way forever. But so for new clients, we have a little different price.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which creates its own challenge. I'm like, oh God, now which client was this?
Sure. That's where it gets confusing, right?
It does. It's like, oh, that was another lesson I learned. Oh, you keep like making me think of lessons.
Sure.
I used to do packages.
Okay.
Where I said, okay, if you guys buy a package up front, say 10 dog walks.
Okay.
This is the price you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
Or a package of dog park visits.
Mm-hmm.
And the tracking of that is a nightmare.
Oh, sure.
So I just said, I got rid of it and said, look, if you're going to use me consistently, you're going to get the lowest price.
All right.
And we're just going to pay as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Because trying to track, because then you'll get a person who's like once a week, they're going to do this. They'll buy 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But in there, they have a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, now that week they didn't do it. And then this week they did.
All right.
So I'm like, oh, I got to get rid of this package pricing and just go as you go, pay as you go.
You got a 17-tab spreadsheet trying to keep track of dog walks.
It was crazy. So, yeah, we've recently revamped it. Just say it's either on-demand pricing or consistent use, existing client pricing. So
okay.
That was a good lesson to learn.
And that's all defined, whatever consistent use is.
Yeah. I mean, if you use us, for me, consistent use is if you use us at least once a week.
Okay.
Or you use us for another service and you're just adding on. So let's say you're a doggy daycare client and you want us to add on a walk.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get my lowest price because you're an existing client.
Gotcha.
With other services. So it's an add. Yeah.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yep.
Cool. So I'm just going to go back to the Bold Business book because that's awesome. Did you get a chance to read it?
I'm not yet.
Oh, no.
Sorry. I actually wanted to read it in one of my business book clubs.
Yeah.
I bought it and I'm like, I suggested it. And then life got really crazy and I can't make it to the business book club anymore. So
was that the one that I visited?
You visited, yeah.
I don't.
And yeah, nobody's really going anymore.
Yeah, like that. I don't know if that's around still.
It hasn't been for a little bit.
Okay.
Just life, you know, the summer has been crazy for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an awesome thing. And I was doing it for years and I loved it.
Yeah.
We read some really great books.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm so guilty.
All right. It's on the list.
So
that's
sorry.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
I
thought about it too. I'm like, I should read that book really, really
just
fast.
Just skip it fast.
Before I see James.
Oh, what else I want to ask you here? Of the business books that you've read, do you have a favorite? Or favorite guru?
You know, I think Think and Grow Rich is always
good book.
True.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just, it was written so many years ago. What, 53 or something like that? It's had an anniversary, a pretty significant anniversary. And it's one I've read multiple times.
Oh, nice.
And every time you read it, you get something out of it.
Sure.
And it was funny because actually somebody, you know, Bill Atkinson and I were talking about it the other day. And in the book, he says, I'm not going to tell you what the secret is, right? I'm not going to tell you what it is. And I said to Bill, I'm like, what if it's not one thing? What if it's up to the person to figure it out for what out of that book is going to be the thing that hits them that moment? And that's the point, is that at that moment, something's going to resonate with you and you should just grab a hold of that and go with it. He's like, yeah. Because I've always tried to, like, figure it out. What is it? And I'm like, I have too. I'm like, every time I read it, I'm like, why am I not getting what it is? But every time you read it, you get something new out of it. So I think that's, to me, I think that might be the point of the book. That's fair. You get something new.
Yeah, from what I got out of the book, it all came down to mindset.
Yes.
And in mindset in that believing that it can happen and actually going forward with whatever plans you believe will get you to what you want.
Right.
I mean, you can think about them all day long, but if you're thinking without acting, you're dreaming.
Right.
So you got to get something done, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I think I agree. So mindset is, and if you look at all of the gurus, there's a common thread.
Hugely.
That's the golden thread that goes through every one of them. Mindset. Belief that you can do it. Belief that it can happen. Allowing it to happen. I'm not focusing on what you don't want.
I would add to that.
Do want.
Actually doing something, though.
And then taking action.
Because I see a lot of people that have that mindset, that focus, girl, I'm going to do it. And you'll ask them, well, what did you do yesterday? What did you do yesterday to take you one step further to your goal? And they have to pause and think. And I'm like, no. If you have to pause and think, that means that you didn't do anything even closely memorable towards achieving that goal, right?
Right.
So, like, you got to write something down that you're going to do tomorrow, today, on top of what you already accomplished today, to make sure that that mindset has some value. Otherwise, you're in a really good mood to get nothing done. Like, there's tons of people that are in bad moods not getting anything done.
Yeah.
You want to be the one that accomplishes something.
Yeah.
In
allowing yourself to look at an accomplishment and be proud of that, too.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many people that are like, well, I only did that. I'm like, better than what a lot of other people did.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
You know? So
regardless of result, right?
Yeah.
That you took the action. Maybe you didn't achieve necessarily the goal that you were looking for. But if you took the action, that's the important part.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wonderful thought. And I do a lot of things with Law of Attraction.
Sure.
And, Joe Vitale, it's not a business book. But another book that I read, that I've read multiple times, is called Zero Limits.
Oh, okay.
And it's Joe Vitale. He was
in the Secret. Sure.
And it is all about a Hawaiian forgiveness ritual called Ho'oponopono.
Okay.
And I learned about it from a woman at a local church probably 3 or 4 years ago. And it's really about a connection with the divine to, you say your mantra. There's four things.
Okay.
I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Oh, so whatever situation. Tony Robbins too. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Like I said, they're all very intertwined, which is
great. I'm not saying that he got it, like he was the one that invented it. I'm saying I heard it through him.
No, I think it's wonderful. I think they all get the fact that they all can benefit from this.
Yep.
So saying that to the divine when any situation that comes up, you're clearing out negative energy, you're clearing out the gunk.
Sure.
And you're saying that. And I will tell you that this worked.
Interesting.
And it's a sad, but not sad.
Okay.
Sorry, my mom got cancer, kidney cancer. It was found in September of 2015.
Okay.
And.
Gotcha. So that's right about the time you started this.
Yeah, and so the cancer was found in her left kidney, about the size of a Nerf football when they found it.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, it was scary, and. I said, whoa, what if? Because again, it's all about love too, right? You know, the whole mantra, the thought of if we can put a little more love out to the world, love toward other things. So I started meditating on the cancer cells. And what if they want to do the same thing that our soul wants to do and it's just get back to the divine?
Right.
They're using this vehicle, this earthly body,
right,
to get back to the divine.
Right.
Well, the only way the cancer cells know how to do that is to kill off this body
right.
and go. So what if I said, well, what if I went in and meditated and I was your guide to get back to the divine? You could leave this body alone.
Sure.
And I said, well, I'm going to pull it out. I am not joking. I got a kidney infection in my left kidney now, right now, really bad. Worst kidney infection I've ever had in my life.
Whoa.
I went to the doctor and they're like, well, what are you having, sympathy pains? You got, your mom's got this left kidney issue.
Oh,
you got left
funny.
Kidney. I'm like, I know. So I get rid of it, and I'm like, I got to change this up. I can't pull it out. I've got to lift it up.
Right.
So lift it up. Well, she did have her kidney removed the day after Thanksgiving that year.
Okay.
And she has been absolutely 100% cancer-free since.
Oh, wow.
There were no rogue cells. They did not have to do chemo. They did not have to do radiation. They did not have to do any kind of medicine whatsoever.
Interesting. All right.
I'm telling you, it works.
The power of thought.
The power of everything. Love.
Sure.
Thought. Yeah.
So. Intentional, that jazz. That's super
absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Huh. So. I like that.
Cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So that's going good book. Read that book.
And what is the name of it again?
Zero Limits.
Zero Limits. And what was the Hawaiian thing?
Ho'oponopono.
Ho'oponopono.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. I got one more question for you. This might be a fun one. What is your favorite thing about owning this business?
It is absolutely the people we've met.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So the dogs and the cats and the, you know, the gerbils and the bunnies are fabulous, and they're unconditional loving beings, right?
Sure.
The people that we've met they love their animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them have taken animals out of a really bad situation.
Oh.
And love them enough to get them to be sociable and to have a good life.
Sure.
And I'll give you a great example. We met a family that had adopted a beagle puppy that had been, when he was probably about 5 years old when they adopted him. Mm-hmm. When he was younger, he had been attacked by a wolf.
Oh.
Or I think it was a wolf.
Okay.
And that, it messed him up. He was scarred from, like, okay. he had half an ear gone.
Like
half
physically
of his,
scarred.
Oh, yeah. Half of his nose was gone.
Oh,
I mean, this,
wow.
How this dog survived, I do not know. But
sure.
He was beat up.
All right.
And they went to the adoption place that they got him. And immediately her son, who had had open heart surgery as a child, connected with that dog.
Oh.
He looked at him and he said, that's my dog. He's like me.
Sure.
He's got a scar
all
here
right.
to here. And they adopted that puppy. And he was a challenge. He was a good dog, but he was very... he was very beagle-ish and not really well trained.
Okay.
And they loved him. And unfortunately, he had a heart issue and they didn't have him very long. But the amount of time they had him, they gave him a great life.
Oh, wow.
And now they have adopted a new puppy, which is great.
Sure.
Another beagle. So it's just the people are amazing.
Nice.
They give you a lot of hope.
Sure.
And a lot of, you can truly say, I can look around this world and see that there's more good than there's bad.
Sure. There is good in the world.
There's so much good in the world.
That's fair. That's fair.
Look for it.
Until you get on the highway, and then every man for themselves.
No, we just recently got like signage on our vehicles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was great, and I've gotten some calls from it. So, but it's also been a message to my husband. It's like you can't get road rage.
Dial it back there,
no road
Andre.
Rage. He's like, oh, I've got to drive
Don't
nice.
Write the name on the car. That's funny. When I was cruising with my different company, I had a couple cars that were all wrapped up. With the vinyl, and I used to tell my guys, I will pay your speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Because that car on the Beltline with flashing lights by it is probably worth a few $1,000s in advertising.
Yeah, because everybody looks.
I say, but don't go crazy. I mean, this is a speeding ticket because there's, generally speaking, everybody speeds a little bit. That ticket I'll pay for. But if you start flipping people off and stuff like that, that's just rude. We can't have that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's there's a good and there's a bad in regards to what's going on there.
Yep.
I'm like, with a name on the vehicle, billboard in Madison, it's $5,000 a month.
Yes.
Minimum.
Yes.
So vehicle only costs a few grand to wrap up.
I mean, I just got some logo and words on our doors.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about $400 for
sure.
two vehicles.
Yep.
I've literally already gotten three calls from
that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
That works well.
Fantastic. Well, Tracy, I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, and author of the Bold Business Book, the prize book that Tracy will soon be reading, available on Amazon. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, and our wonderful guest, Tracy Lynn Haas of TNT Pet Care Services. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. I gotta take a breath here. We can also be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link on drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. I will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome and, of course, enjoy your business.